Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Brian Windhorst, and this is the Rock Collective. Roundball Rock? Is it Roundball Friends? What are we calling it these days? Someone tell me. Anyway, it stars Dave Schilling, Tyrone Liu, Mo Williams, the realtor who sold me my condo in Cleveland that I still haven't been able to get rid of, Joey Devine, great guy, Iman Shumpert, Aggregators, Tom Haberstroh, Sean Keen, my shoe connect in Omaha, Nebraska, Dave McManaman, LeBron James Jr., a musical guest and my favorite artist, Pat Boone. And now the temporary host of Brown Ball Rock, I think am I getting this right? Joey Devine.
Hi, thanks, Brian Windhorst. Oh, wait, sorry. I already screwed up the intro because I was so off-put by Brian Windhorst, the ghost of Brian Windhorst. Hi, it's me, your temporary co-host, Joey Devine, here with my co-host, Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Yeah? Short intro today, huh? Yeah,
so he didn't mess around, that guy.
How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Okay. You're writing about people's sexiest man.
Sexiest man alive. It was so let me just peel back the curtain a little bit to Sean's freelance gallery writing career. I'd already finished a list of Parker Posey's most iconic performances in honor of her 50th birthday.
Oh, what was number one?
I didn't rank them. I just listed them chronologically.
You get House of Yes on there, dude?
Yeah, hell yeah. There's a lot of like fun, weird stuff she's done too. Like, she has a treasure, a fight in a landfill on Parks and Recreation. She's on Louie. Josie and the Pussycats. Yeah, it's great because when she's talking about being in Louie, the headline on the Salon thing, even though it's like 4 years ago, is Louie's a creep. Parker Posey's comment on. Being on Louis, which is good that she's like, yeah, that I played it knowing his character is a sexual predator. I mean, come on, he like stalked me at a bookstore. That's a weird guy. Yeah, she's in tons of stuff. And then it's very endearing to hear her talking about working with Christopher Guest as well. That
about Superman Returns? Did you do
that? Is
definitely Superman Returns?
I didn't rank. I mean, it's all on the list. Yes.
She worked with a lot of creeps. Now that I think about it.
Oh,
we got Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
We got Louis C.K.
Double creep. She's got the Spacey-Singer combo in Superman Returns, which is like Seems like they would be vulnerable to like a racketeering charge. I mean, like, that's an organization. They're crossing state lines. Days and Confused, of course.
Mm-hmm.
She actually has, like, there's a lot of weird indie movies where she has, like, an amazing minute, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the movie Sleep With Me, she's, like, the eighth or ninth biggest character. But there's a scene, but the scene where they play the title song, she's just there topless and smoking a cigarette. And you watch that scene and you're like, I kind of feel like she just became the main character of this movie. It's really cool. You've Got Mail, Tom Hanks' girlfriend. Dave Chappelle's
number one performance.
He's number one for us. But yeah, she's on like Drunk History. She's in a movie about Mary Kay. It's pretty great.
So yeah.
Basquiat.
You heard it here first. Parker Posey is people's number one sexiest man of the year, which is how this conversation started.
Anyway, I had to rush the sexiest man alive because people went early and announced it was Idris Elba. So I thought I had till Thursday. Anyway, so we got to figure out who the sexiest man. The least sexy sexiest man alive, though, no surprise, Blake Shelton.
I guess while we're plugging things, I was on what I think is a very good episode of the podcast, Does Your Favorite Movie Suck, this week.
Oh.
Talking about the movie Scream, which is one of my favorite movies.
That's great. Parker Posey's in Scream 3. She's like the best part of that movie, too.
All right. All roads lead back to Parker Posey. Sean, should we talk about the news?
Yeah, let's.
Oh,
let's...
actually, should we talk about Brian Windhorst?
Also, if we're plugging things, I was on a fraudcast recently too what were you saying?
Should we talk about the Hoop Collective stealing Ghost of Don Pardo from us?
I mean, it lasted 30 seconds. Whatever. But yeah, that's there was another podcast that tried to do an SNL intro and then backed out very quickly due to their fear of our lawyers.
We are litigious here at Roundball Rock.
So, Andrew Hahn, you're on notice.
All right, let's talk about the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, our top story, Sean. Jeff Bizdelic is back, baby! The biggest news of the year, the
Thank
most
God.
Important thing that's happened in the basketball offseason is, of course, the Rockets have stunk. Not because James Harden was hurt and Chris Paul was suspended. Not because they were putting a ton of new people together. But because a guy who coached a really, really shitty version of the Denver Nuggets in the early 2000s left the team. But guess what, Sean? He's back. Jeff Bizdelic is back with the Rockets, and all of a sudden, the Rockets are winning.
They're playing defense, and they're winning, baby! Yeah! Even though he hasn't actually joined the team, and I think he's actually not coming back till after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But they're back. They got a defensive coordinator again.
Which
because
is a
that's
football-ass job.
That's... Does anyone have you ever heard that about a basketball team before? It's the defensive coordinator.
No, they give the fake head coach job now, the associate head coach, but yeah. I've never heard defensive coordinator.
Yeah, because in basketball, players play offense and defense.
Although, didn't.
Unless you're Isaiah Thomas.
I want to say. Didn't Robert Parra try and make Dave Yeager wear a headset on the sideline?
I mean, it.
And two coordinators would, like, talk into his headset. I think that was a real story.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if it's Vivek or Parra, anything is really.
Possible.
Yeah, really, right?
Anyway, anything else you want to say about the biz daddy dude, Jeff Bizdelic?
You were correct. Also, that was a Robert Parra idea.
Yeah,
because the team started 2-3, and
Wow, I can't believe he left that job for no reason.
It would have been. It was actually Gabe's first five games, by the way. And again, sometimes it's correct to freak out about the, like, to do it for fun, but also the Rockets are pretty good when James Harden and Chris Paul play together, no matter really who's coaching or is surrounding them on the court. Yeah. I would say.
All right, let's talk about our real story here. Kyrie Irving. Do you want to walk us through what happened last night with Kyrie?
Yeah, so the Celtics are playing, I think the game was in Denver, right?
Yes.
And very hard fought, interesting game. Jamal Murray just put up a ton of points. He put up 48 points. Game was very close. And then as the game, and you know, the Nuggets get the ball with like 12 seconds left. And as time was running out, Jamal Murray put up like a 32 footer at the buzzer. You know, because maybe he'd get 50.
Because he had 40 points. Maybe he'd get 51.
Points. 50 points is cool. Also, it doesn't matter because it's the end of the game and, you know, the game ends anyway.
No one was guarding him.
The Celtics were very mad about that. And in fact, Kyrie took the ball and he fired it into the crowd. And after the game, he said, "The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bullshit move like that. So I threw it in the crowd."
Are they going to fine him for that?
He got fined $25,000. That seems appropriate because you could just drill someone in the back of the head. Come on, Kyrie. Also, he lost an opportunity to flatten the ball, which would have been much more on brand. Like why does the ball deserve to... Why does the ball deserve to go in the crowd after that? Like, what'd the ball do? What'd the crowd do?
Well, no, but I mean, it's... He's trying to deny Jamal Murray getting the game ball for his career high.
Okay.
Which is even worse, I think. Like, it's one thing to just be mad and throw the ball, but actually he's like, Jamal Murray gets to keep that ball. Normally.
Not if Kyrie Irving has anything to say about it.
And here's... This is so stupid. This is like the worst thing to be mad about. Because you know what? I watched a lot of pre-LeBron Kyrie Irving teams, and Kyrie Irving definitely was the kind of guy to, like, go for 50 points in a meaningless game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I just don't understand why media outlets, like, credibly report things that are just so clearly players being upset about losing a game. Like, yeah, of course you're going to, like, if you give someone the opportunity, they're going to blame the refs or blame, like, a guy shooting at the buzzer. Like, it just feels like some real baseball shit to me.
Yeah, which in turn is some real Celtics shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, just like City of Boston. It just, it feels like, I mean, specifically, it feels like something that the Atlanta Braves would do.
You know what, straight up,
specifically Brian McCann.
It's some real white shit.
Yeah.
Like,
this is, any ideas about playing the game the right way and unwritten rules are essentially come from,
institutional racism.
Institutional racism. White players being mad about black players. That's why people are mad about bat flipping in baseball, because it is something that many Latinos do, and therefore is unacceptable because it's illegal to actually police the race of people coming in. So you just make sure your team signs the most high-profile Caucasian free agent available, and even overpaying a white New Zealander, I think, if you're the Celtics.
No, he's from Australia.
Oh, he is Australian. Yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure.
Aaron Baines.
Aaron Baines, yeah. Same. Aaron Baines, which sounds like a personal injury lawyer.
So let's talk about them. I mean, do we have anything else to say about Kyrie being mad?
I thought the Jaylen Brown interview after the game was funnier because they asked him about it. And he was, like, answering about how he didn't like it. and he, you know, didn't like that the guy took a shot at the end of the game. But there was such a deep sadness to it that made me think, like, he's actually unhappy that he was thriving last year, and now Gordon Hayward's limping around and taking a spot, and he's mad that the Nuggets beat him.
You know what? I'm going to say it. Jaylen Brown and Kyrie Irving should play more League of Legends. Maybe that'll get him back.
That's true. Yeah, you learn how to come back from adversity in the league. Like, would you be criticized for the League of Legends for taking an extra shot at a target when the battle was won?
I don't know. I'm not a fucking nerd.
You got to get your rankings and your stats up and your hitbox. I've never played League of Legends.
I will be honest. I've only watched a couple of basketball games this week because I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2, like, constantly.
Yeah, well, is there a lot of sportsmanship in Red Dead Redemption 2?
No, you're an outlaw, baby.
So you can fish, even though you've caught a lot of fish, catch an extra fish.
Will another
cowboy come and throw your fishing pole into the water if you do that? Okay.
People will just fight you if you bump into them and don't apologize, though.
That's cowboy style.
Fair.
I mean, yeah, that's like a reasonable response, not throwing a ball at civilians for no reason because they spent money to watch you play a sport.
Let's talk about the Nuggets, though. They're 9-1 without Will Barton.
Yeah.
They have Will Barton and presumably Isaiah Thomas and presumably garbage time minutes of MAGA Porter Jr. coming at some point this season.
Yeah, he's still focusing on League of Legends right now.
No, he's hustling, dude.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you can probably hustle people at League of Legends, right? It's too participatory. Right. Yeah, he's running short cons.
Yeah.
On fans in the Denver area.
Is this real? These Nuggets, are they this good, Sean?
I don't think they're this good, but they're pretty good. They're hard to play against.
Jokic has, like, the fifth best defensive rating out of any center in the league. That can't hold, right?
That feels like it can't hold. I mean, just having watched the way he moves, but I also think that, like, he's bad at like chasing guys out to the 3-point line, right? But
he also can't really jump, so
yeah.
But he does block a lot of shots now for some reason. I don't know. It's very weird. He's a weird player in the best possible way.
Yeah. The thing is, I think it's okay when you have a guy he's still 7 feet tall, you know? And then you've got guys like Gary Harris and Paul Millsap who are actually really good defenders. Mm-hmm. I think Monty Morris is pretty good too.
Yeah.
Plus they've been starting defensive specialist Torrey Craig.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it seems pretty good. Like, the Nuggets legitimately have a really good point differential, too, which, again, it's early. They've only played 10 games, but it's equal to what the Raptors have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really do think it's not like Will Barton is not an important player either.
No. He's maybe their fourth best player, fifth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's in their five best players for sure.
Yeah, and in the fact that they're getting good contributions from Beasley and Wancho's doing some stuff, like, that makes them very tough. Like, it's a very good starting five just to begin with, but this is good. Now, they have won a couple of very close games. Like, the Warriors game was a 2-point game. They beat the Bulls on a tip-in, but still wins, baby.
Yeah, dude.
They don't really have a tough stretch until I think they'll have an extremely good record at least through Thanksgiving, and then they have a road trip, which might be a little bit tough. But
we'll see, baby.
Yeah.
But most importantly, let's talk about these Celtics, baby. These sad-ass Celtics.
They're bummed out.
They've lost two straight. They face Utah in the Gordon Hayward comeback game. Are we sure that's dramatic?
We've we've been hearing about it way more than you would think. I think just because the Celtics have been on ESPN a bunch, and that's a very ESPN talking point. That, like, it's in the notes. Like, you should bring this up 8 times that 4 games from now, Gordon Hayward's going to be coming to a team that he used to play on. But yeah, it seems like he left a long time ago now. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't play there last year, but I mean, look, the petty ass Utah Jazz fans are still pissed at him. That's for sure. But, you know, he changed jobs like a year and a half ago.
But also they shouldn't be pissed at him.
No, they had a great year without him.
Yeah, they're better off without him. Look at how depressing he is. He made Jaylen Brown sad.
And that guy's pretty joyous.
I don't know. He's like in the cult of Kyrie, who in turn is in the cult of Kobe. It's like a weird pyramid scheme of like shitty mentality.
I think they've got a couple guys that are not super happy with coming off the bench the way that they are.
Yeah. No.
Doesn't seem like
Why
they're getting
they
it.
Because also they're Gordon not... Hayward has not been good.
No, he really hasn't. And, you know, Jaylen Brown's still starting. He's still playing, you know, not as many minutes, but a fair amount of minutes. But I really think they're losing their Morris twin. And that's an easy thing to have happen to your team. It's like taking a very small child to a crowded mall. It's very easy to lose them. But also, I mean, the thing that makes it especially hard is that the Wizards are also struggling, which means that because of their twin mind meld, they're both like they're depression is ramping, you know, they're both getting more depressed as the other one they
right,
share.
They're like Elliot and E.T.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And like if they get drunk because they feel bad about a game, it's like double. You know what I mean? They're gonna fuck up their frog dissection.
Also, one of them also on the Wizards, someone is always calling one of them penis breath.
That's true.
Here's a question about this Utah-Boston game that I am not excited about. I want to be clear. Who cares?
Yeah.
That is not a rivalry. The Boston Celtics and the Utah Jazz.
I mean, the only rivalries there are between Danny Ainge and Tanner Ainge, his son, failed congressional candidate, who was cut out of his will in favor of Terry Rozier. Like, that's the real... But Tanner's not on the court, you know? And also, like, how can Boston hate a team that has that many Caucasian players?
Right.
Like, the city of Boston's just like, they're playing the right way. I don't know. They just remind me of something I like. They're missing some stuff I don't like.
But here's my question. Does going to Salt Lake City make Volsel Brad Stevens stronger?
I think it does. Like, I think he just likes the sterility of it. You know what I mean? Like I don't, you know, we are on record that Brad Stevens has only had sex to procreate. So that those are the only times he's had sex, right?
Oh, yeah. And so
he likes the idea that, like, oh, yeah, you got to wear special underwear that makes it more difficult to have sex. I'm into that. Like no alcohol, so you can't, your mind might get clouded and you might be thinking impure thoughts. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's at home in Indianapolis, Indiana. Salt Lake City's like the ultra version of that.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything to say about the Celtics anymore, though. Like,
no.
Be better, and then I'll want to talk about you.
Yeah, it's like they're like famous, but not good enough or fun enough. And the amount of acclaim they get for, you know, they've got the same point differential. Who are they close to here? It's the Celtics. Yeah, they're outscoring their opponents by 3 points a game. Like the Spurs are having a better season than them, and there's no like, oh, how's DeMar gonna fit in? Do they miss Danny Green? Oh.
All right, let's talk about the actual Celtics rivals.
Uh-huh.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, hell yeah.
Today they signed Tyson Chandler, who is a older, better version of JaVale McGee, right? I mean, I don't know if he's better now, but I mean, through his career. Either.
I kind of feel like JaVale McGee went to the Warriors, remained kind of like a silly cult favorite the whole time, and by about a year onto the team, was legitimately a valuable and reliable NBA player.
He still does some games, but yeah.
He seems like he's been the Lakers' like third best player this season.
I kind of want to say second, even though it's sort of a joke that I'm saying.
But he has had a couple of games where it's like, oh, I think he won that game for them. Yeah. Like, oh, he got that block. Oh, didn't he have a game where he scored like 18 points a couple nights ago?
Yeah, he's playing too many minutes. That I will say. Because, you know, he has asthma. And
that's
also
true.
He can't focus for very long periods of time.
He has brain asthma. I don't think JaVale himself would disagree with that. His look is incredible even for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's had 2 20-point games, dominated Jokic.
But that's
the
not
Nuggets
what we didn't
want
to talk about JaVale. Come on. Let's talk about what we actually want to talk about, which
is
Magic Johnson screaming at Luke Walton.
I feel like it's an interesting dynamic with Magic Johnson yelling at Luke Walton specifically, because I bet Luke Walton met Magic Johnson when he was like 4 years old.
True. But also the weird thing about this to me is like, are there two, like, more chill, funny dudes that could be, like, fun and, like, jovial people that could be screaming at each other?
Clearly two extremely party-oriented individuals.
Like, you have to do a lot to get Magic Johnson to yell at you, I think. I mean, look, Magic Johnson also is very competitive and did get a coach fired one time. Moping, but still, old age Magic Johnson is pretty chill, dude.
But he's mad. Like, the Lakers may say they want to be patient, but the guys in charge aren't really that patient. Like,
no,
I don't think they should be panicking or worried. They're 4-6. They had kind of a tough schedule.
Hey, they just signed a player that can play the center position.
So now they only had one of those before. Well, there's been a lot of talk before the season where it's like, it's no big deal. LeBron can play the five. Kyle Kuzma can play the five, which I see it in theory, get a little more shooting on the floor. But if you've actually watched either guy try to contest a shot or play defense in the lane, that's not very feasible.
LeBron can do that in the playoffs when he's trying, but not in the regular season. You're going to ask LeBron James to try 82 games a year? Please.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He's not the GOAT for no reason.
Yeah, everyone knows the best player of all time is famous for only playing hard 14 games a year.
Yeah, GOAT. Giving 0% at times.
His fucking defense has been so bad. Like, honestly, all of their defense has been bad, except for, well, JaVale has also played some bad defense, but at least he gets, like, blocks or whatever. But LeBron's defense has been, like, Russell Westbrook, James Harden bad, and he is getting off the hook here.
I gotta say, when Serge Ibaka goes 15 of 17, 35-year-old Serge Ibaka can do that on your interior defense. They just give up so many layups, you know? I mean, the one thing the Lakers defense is pretty good at is getting steals, though. So
as a Monte Ellis fan that means bad defense, actually.
Yeah. It really does. Like Lonzo's good at it, LeBron's good at it, Josh Hart's good at it, but in general.
Josh Hart has been bad at defense, dude. I don't know why.
He's good at steals, though.
Right, but that means he's out of position 80% of the time he's on the court.
I mean, our friend Julian Rodriguez made a excellent point at Juice Manji on Twitter. It's very hard to make the young guys on the team focus on defense when your best and highest paid player doesn't try at all.
Yeah.
So how do you demand, like, oh, everybody's got to be accountable for defense except the most important guy?
Well, here's what you do. You bring in Tyson Chandler, who's done such a good job as a veteran molding the Phoenix Suns defense.
I mean, yeah, it's like he'll be a stabilizing force just like he did with the Suns and the Knicks. And that time he was on the Charlotte Hornets for a while. I guess they were the Bobcats then. Look, Tyson Chandler probably can still
be helpful.
Bound and stick his arms out. I don't know how much he's going to want to play at a fast pace, but yeah, I mean, that should seal it. And it's like, I don't think the Lakers are really missing offensive talent right now.
Well, actually, that's something I want to bring up, though, about Magic Johnson screaming at Luke Walton.
Yeah.
That was unfair. He was screaming at Luke Walton about installing an offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Luke Walton's actually done a pretty good job of installing the offense, considering when you have LeBron James, no matter what you do, your offense is LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing Luke has been great at is LeBron has been a pretty slow player his entire career, but he is playing fast as hell with the mm-hmm. Lakers.
Yeah, he was really influenced by... I have a feeling that when you have a really formidable opponent that you face a lot when you're younger, you're like, that's what we got to crack. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the gold standard. And it's like, so he's still in his head, still kind of trying to beat the 2004 Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you got to grind it out. the offense has not been the problem for the Lakers.
No. I don't think they should fire Luke. I'm going to be honest.
No.
I think Luke is good.
Well, I always ask the question, if you're going to fire Luke Walt, if you're going to fire a coach, who do you have in mind to take over that's going to make things a lot better? And I don't know who the obvious coaching candidate is.
Phil Jackson, dude.
Phil Jackson. I would love that so much. He'd come back, right?
I think he would. Can you imagine how much he would talk shit about how much better LeBron is than Kobe just to the media?
Would be great. Like he'd have a book out by the All-Star game. Also, imagine how big that chair would be.
It's a big chair.
On the sidelines? Yeah. Like now that his back's getting worse, just like on a fucking throne, not making any road trips.
Don't you think that... LeBron would get jealous and get a bigger chair, though, and the chairs would just keep getting bigger and bigger. So
that would be fantastic. And then next to him is just like a chair that has an urn of Tex Winter's ashes that he just taps at special points.
All right. Anything else you want to say about the Lakers?
If they fire Luke Walton, it will be hilarious. But they really should not. I don't really think they will, but. You just never know. Like I don't know what's going to happen if LeBron misses a couple games.
Yeah,
at a bad time, which you know, he never gets hurt. But they have a few. They've got a road trip and some losable games coming up. Like it gets, they're going to get to play like Atlanta and Orlando pretty soon. But there's some teams that could beat them. And they could be around 500 for a while looking at this schedule.
Dude, if Trae Young single-handedly beats them, that would be the funniest thing on earth. Like, if went go-off king.
Well, I think they're not going to be very comfortable. This should not be a game that the Lakers would worry about, but this is like the wrong time for a Laker team to be coming to Sacramento early in the season. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the Kings can stop anyone, but I don't think a lot of the Lakers are going to want to run for that long.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, what if they fire Luke Walton? I'm hoping it happens on Christmas Day after the Warrior game, and then he can just walk across to the Warriors locker room and take over as an assistant coach.
Bill will be so sad, though. You don't want to make Bill sad on Christmas.
That's true.
All right. Let's talk about the other team that is in hilarious disarray. The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Even though we talked about the Cavs last week, so much stuff has happened since then.
Yeah. Let's just run down some things. They lost a game where they were up by 5 with 24 seconds left.
Yeah.
And that game, the team they were playing was the Orlando Magic.
The Orlando Magic. They were torched by the defense and clutch shooting of Evan Fournier.
So tight. then other things that have happened come out. Former assistant coach Jim Boylan is suing them for age discrimination.
Yeah, the problem is Tyronn Lue told him they wanted to hire someone younger, which is an admission of guilt and illegal.
Former CFO settled a lawsuit about a team covering up stuff about a disabled employee's claim this summer.
Yeah, I think they settled for $30,000.
Kyle Korver had a handshake agreement that Cleveland would trade him if LeBron left, and they have not traded him.
They have not. They're very bad. They've benched him instead, the opposite of trading him.
J.R. Smith has been benched and tweeted that Trae Young should be Rookie of the Year.
Oh my God.
Which seems like a shot at something, at someone else on the team that we will specifically get to in a minute. Kevin Love is out indefinitely with a vague injury.
I mean, he has a toe injury, and it's like, a toe injury is one of those things. Yeah, a toe injury is one of those things that lingers a lot, but also feels like something that laymen do not understand. Like, you could have a guy miss a quarter for turf toe in a football game and retire because of a toe injury, and I would be equally credulous about either one.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like they're going to bench him for maybe the whole season.
Dan Gilbert favorite Sam Decker is out a month with an injury.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a high ankle sprain.
Their interim coach Larry Drew held them hostage for a partial guarantee. Which means
he's now.
Go ahead.
Well, he's acting head coach now, right? Not interim head coach.
I just meant like he was holding them hostage head coach. And finally, veterans don't think Colin Sexton can play, and they don't think he's upset enough after losses.
Yeah.
And also, that makes it sound like this is on the veterans. If you read that article, it is on Colin Sexton. Have you read that stuff where it's like George Hill?
I read a summary of it on a Cavs blog.
George Hill is like, hey, I want to help you. You want to get some work in? And he's like, fuck you, man.
Get out of here, like, old man.
These veterans,
I played 3-on-5 at Alabama.
Yeah, these veterans keep trying to help him, and he keeps like ignoring them and turning them down, and then making the same exact mistakes over and over and over in games instead of learning from them.
The metaphor for Cleveland sports itself. By the way, if they hire a new coach next year, Dan Gilbert will be simultaneously paying 5 head coaches.
So fucking tight, dude.
So good.
And a Jim Boylan lawsuit.
Yeah. I have a question about Kevin Love, though.
Yes.
Now, this is a weird... Okay. Kevin Love. Great numbers in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Less great numbers in Cleveland, but goes to the finals 4 times in a row and wins a title. Kevin Love, do you think he's an NBA Hall of Famer? I mean, you don't even have to pick, but at best, he's on the borderline, right?
I don't think he's... I think he's closer than the borderline. To me, he is certainly a more memorable player than LaMarcus Aldridge, but I'm sure his numbers are worse.
Yeah. And Kevin Love's made a bunch of all-star teams.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, if you're a guy like Kevin Love, who's, you know, this is like your age 30 season, don't you not want to be sitting out that year, regardless of getting paid well and everything? Like, in terms of your historical legacy, like, I just wouldn't think he'd want to get shut down for 82 games.
Well, I think he's actually hurt.
Oh, like, I mean, he's definitely hurt right now. I'm just saying, I'm wondering if that's going to also be a source of tension when Kevin Love is running around fine around Christmas and the Cavs are still encouraging him to sit on the bench.
Well, I mean, they just shouldn't have signed that contract extension.
He really shouldn't have.
It made no sense at the time, and now it makes even less sense.
And the idea is, like, I guess he's, like, is he tradable? I mean, I guess he is, but
no.
It makes him far less tradable if that's what you were trying to do if you're the Cavs.
But also, let's talk about this right now. Kyle Korver's got to get traded. They have to trade him.
They definitely. And it should be very easy to do that. Like, what are you holding out for?
Where should he go, Sean?
Where should Kyle Korver go? I mean, I think it would be very funny to have him on the Timberwolves, but I don't think that's a good fit. I bet the Miami Heat would love to have him. I don't know if there's any kind of trade that works, but he seems very much like a off-the-bench Miami Heat player that they do a lot with. I mean, it's got to be some team with playoff aspirations of some sort. I think it would also be fun to have it be a Spur.
Yeah, that I thought the Spurs, but get him back with Coach Bud, dude. Give Giannis some more shooting. Just get him out there.
Would he play?
Yeah, I think he'd play.
This seems like they're already like 13 deep.
Yeah, but yeah, would you rather have his shooting than Snell's?
Yeah, I guess that's true. They just, it's weird that they have, that's a team that has such a deep roster now.
Yeah.
You were
really not high on their roster, too. You were like, ugh, they've only got, like, two good guys going into the season, and now it's like, I think they're really good, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm still low on Bledsoe, like, basically all their guards, but John Henson's way better than I thought he was. I was definitely incorrect about him. Who else was I wrong about? Dante DiVincenzo's, I actually thought would be good, but I did not think he would be good right now. Ersan's been great. And I think Middleton, even though he's almost at the point where he's overrated because of how much people say he's underrated, he's still pretty underrated.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Cavs. Is there anything you want to talk about here with them?
Like, shouldn't they just trade these guys? Like, don't.
Yes.
What really are they worried doing? Worried about your coach playing veterans too much, trade the veterans.
But
that's
also
what Billy Beane would do.
What the fuck were they doing this offseason? Like, why? Yeah, like, why did they do this to these guys?
There was plenty of time to get this done, too. They didn't even have a GM they fired for no reason this summer.
They signed Channing Frye this summer. Remember that. They signed Channing Frye this summer. They really thought they were going to be good.
Well, the other thing is, I kind of think it's not, they shouldn't be the worst team in the league. Like, if they just, it's very weird that they feel like they need to give Colin Sexton 30-plus minutes a game when he's 19 years old and not good.
He sucks, dude.
You know, there's plenty of guys ahead of him. But it's also like, it doesn't matter how good he is this year. Like, you got him for 4 years. Like, just, and basically, when the owner comes out and says, I'm going to fire the coach if he doesn't play Colin Sexton the maximum number of minutes, what kind of authority do you have as a coach in practice? Like, like, playing time is the one disciplinary measure you have. And when it's like, all right, you can have this guaranteed money from last year, Larry Drew, but Colin Sexton brings the ball up every play of the game. Agreed? It's just insane.
All right. There's one last thing I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess two. You want to talk about the Bulls versus the Knicks the other night, don't you?
Oh, just...
Yeah, I did not watch this game, so why don't you run through this?
I did watch OT because it was so funny. We got our friend John Wilms tipped us off to this. The Bulls and Knicks played a double overtime game, which no one wanted to win. And this became very clear in overtime because the Bulls kept stepping out of bounds, which is something that you normally see happen like once or twice in an entire basketball game. I mean, unless your team has Mikal Petras on it, mm-hmm. which means it'll happen nearly every time he catches a pass. So here's the sequence in the first overtime. With 2.5 minutes left, Jabari Parker stepped out of bounds. Then the Knicks' Noah Vonleh threw the ball away. At 2:10 left, Zach LaVine stepped out of bounds. Bulls got the ball back. Robin Lopez threw the ball out of bounds. With 53 seconds left, Noah Vonleh threw the ball out of bounds again. With 3 seconds left, Emmanuel Mudiay threw the ball away. So the Bulls had a chance to just make any shot to win this tie game. Zach LaVine stepped out of bounds again with 2 seconds left, and the Knicks, refusing to win, gave the ball to Enes Kanter so he could shoot a 30-footer at the buzzer, which did not make it. The Knicks wanted it less at the end. Mudiay stepped out of bounds with the ball once. Kanter stepped out of the ball once. Like, guys stepped out of bounds 6 times mm-hmm. in the overtimes. Also at the end of the game, it seemed like Emmanuel Mudiay tied the game by accident. Like, he threw up kind of a not a great looking shot that went in, and then with 0.2 seconds left, he fouled Zach LaVine to force the Bulls to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing tank job by both teams. Also, Fred Hoiberg has the weirdest NBA coaching career right now, because he's going to come back next year too. He is. Year 5 of Hoiberg.
All right. Our last story today. This is one of the greatest sentences I've ever read out loud.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to read it to you right now. Bob Cousy read a Ta-Nehisi Coates book and wrote Bill Russell an apology letter for not supporting him enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob Cousy a couple years ago decided he needed to become more educated about
He's
the
woke now. Bob Cousy He's is woke.
And so he read the book and then realized that even though he thought he had been nice to individual black players, he had really let Bill Russell down by not publicly supporting him more when fans of his own team were breaking into his house and shitting in it.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of racist stuff, which obviously they've stopped doing in the city of Boston. No, they haven't. People yelled the N-word at a Baltimore Orioles player last year. So he wrote Bill Russell an apology letter and sent him a copy of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was his. I think he bought a new one. I'm going to say Bob Cousy bought him a fresh book. And Bill Russell called him back like 3 years later. And was like, thank you for the note, I appreciate it. Didn't read the book, which is really tight. And then Bob Cousy's like, complimented him for marrying a 49-year-old, and Bill Russell apparently laughed a lot at that. So I guess they're friends again, as much as two really old men who don't ever talk and were coworkers 50 years ago can be friends. But it was kind of a magical, like, what a weird, it feels like it's like the thing Phil Jackson does when he buys books for all his players, except no one bought it for him and he actually read it. It's not.
Wait, don't you think, who bought Bob Cousy? No way Cousy bought the Ta-Nehisi Coates book by himself.
Right? That I'm not sure. How did he
get the Ta-Nehisi Coates book?
He's a big Atlantic commenter. The Boston Globe, reputable sports organization. It's a pretty black and white picture in this article. He apparently has made a list of things he wants to accomplish while his mind is still sharp. And so he just said he decided to research more about race and social issues. I actually have a feeling that Bob Cousy probably just Googled book race and social issues.
He's 90 years old.
Yeah. And I mean, it's weird. I'm just saying that, like, I can't imagine someone in his life being, Bob, you should read this. But I think if you just, like, Google learn about race book. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. Learn about race book. It is fifth entry I got here in a books about race every white person needs to read.
Okay.
So,
but do you think Bob Cousy knows how to Google?
I think he does. But he's just, like, rich enough. But I do think it's like, it's not even him Googling. It's him. He's, like, figured out Siri. And he's like, Siri, teach me about racism. And they're like, you mean? I don't know, man. It's very weird. But also a hilarious Bill Russell response, which is, like, if someone apologizes you for being racist and not supporting you for, you know, like, 6 years, half a century ago, I think you do wait a couple years before you call him back.
Well, like, he's also very busy retweeting MSNBC.
That's true. Bill Russell is extremely woke. But
Russell is he's not extremely woke. He's very in the hashtag resistance if you follow him on Twitter.
Does he still have, like, a weird jacked up Twitter name?
They fixed it finally.
Real Bill Russell. Okay, great. Always wired.
It used to be like Bill Russell 55009913 or something like that.
It's really good. Bill Russell, hashtag March for Our Lives. Also the sweatshirt Steph Curry wore after the game last night.
Yeah. Okay, my main question I want to ask you, though, Sean, is what other basketball teammates owe each other old apologies?
Well, I mean, new apologies, I would say that, like, Jimmy Butler needs to write Karl Anthony Towns an apology letter and give him a copy of, like, The Ethical Slut, like a book about polyamory.
Well, I was going to ask about books later. Apologies.
Oh, who's owed apologies?
Yeah.
Rick Barry, like every player in the NBA that he ever played with or opposed.
Oh, he should apologize. Okay. Yes, definitely. I think everyone needs to apologize to Kareem every time they see him. Like, every single person.
Yes.
Like, if I see Kareem, I should apologize to Kareem.
I think people on, like, the 1992 Denver Nuggets need to apologize to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. So I'm specifically talking about... Geez, there's no one on this team. I looked up the roster to be like, especially this guy, and I'm like, because I don't think Mutombo needs to apologize to him, but maybe LaPhonso Ellis? What a bad team this was. But yeah, just the league in general probably needs to apologize to him.
Agreed.
Robert Pack apologized to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Do you think Robert Pack is still dunking on someone somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. I think he never stopped.
He was such a little guy who just dunked. That was all Robert Pack could do. He was like 5'11", and he just yammed on people.
And his name was Pack. Like,
yeah, Robert Pack is cool, dude.
He was also, like, extremely jacked for the era he played in.
Also, not very good, though.
Not great.
Good at dunking. All right, now let's get to a reading list. What NBA Hall of Famers?
He's a Wizards assistant coach right now, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Just so he's a good mentor. That's what that means.
You know who owes him an apology, actually?
Who's that?
I think the NBA and everyone else in the NBA needs to apologize to Sam Cassell for not making the big balls dance constantly happening in every NBA game.
I'm going to go one further. I think that should be the new NBA logo.
Yes, 100%. I think we've said that on this show before.
Maybe.
100% that should be the NBA logo, is Sam Cassell doing the big balls dance. Also, if you play in the NBA or even like a lower level, like Jack Cooley, if you're out there listening, you know, any G Leaguers, any people in the Turkish League, anyone in Summer League, anyone in a rec league, just do the big balls dance, dude.
Yeah.
Do it.
How do you feel about that new Rock the Baby celebration people
hate
are doing?
It. Well, no, it's okay. I mean, I get it. It's fine. It's better than the nosebleed.
That's way better. And I don't like the nosebleed at all.
But last thing I want to talk about here, which let's talk about some NBA Hall of Famers and what books should they be reading?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think John Stockton needs to read the same book that Bob Cousy just read. It's Been in Utah. And then I think Karl Malone should write him an apology letter, though, because I'm sure he did something terrible to him.
I think that new Hall of Famer Ray Allen should be reading the Marquis de Sade.
Ooh, yeah, I like
he's
that.
Very into sex, based on his social media accounts. And then he should read like three pages and then burn the book.
Yeah, I think Charles Barkley would actually really enjoy The Art of Tidying Up, or whatever that book's called.
The motorcycle maintenance one?
No, the Marie Kondo book.
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. By the way, The Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance is Phil Jackson's favorite book of all time.
I know. It's...
Oh.
Come on.
It's weird.
Don't you think he also likes Jonathan Livingston Seagull?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Paul George, not a Hall of Famer, but I think he should read Trout Fishing in America. Just because, like, the title would suck him in, and then it would kind of open his mind about weird... The life-changing magic of tidying up. Sorry, I apologize to Marie Kondo. Good shirt tips.
Anything else you want? Any other book recommendations?
I think maybe like Isaiah Thomas should read. I can't think of a book about kindness offhand, but that's what he should read. Maybe some feminist literature. Backlash, The Undeclared War Against Women. That's what Isaiah Thomas should read. Susan Faludi's book.
There's one more I want to do, but I can't remember the name of the book. I think that Rick Barry needs to read The Road.
Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah, and really reconnect with his children.
Yeah. And I think Larry Bird would really enjoy Sign Language, the Jerry Seinfeld book.
All right, that's it. Sean, what do you want to plug?
You can check out my amazing Sexiest Man ranking will be up this week. And come see me at the Punchline December 20th through the 22nd in San Francisco. You can get tickets at livenation.com.
And then as for me, please listen to Does Your Favorite Movie Suck? It's a great podcast hosted by someone I've known since I was 4 years old, and I was on it this week talking about the movie Scream. Don't know why I said it that way. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where November 2nd I tweeted Coyotes with 9 exclamation points at Arizona Coyotes.
Oh my God. He's, by the way, this podcast won't be up in time, but vote against whatever Frankie's voting for, please.
Trust the process and shut it down. Let's all apologize to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. America, how we gonna stand this one problem? It's got to be me.
drugs, I got a higher thing. My sky hook makes a team look good, but there's a hook we gotta shake from the neighborhood.
My name is Weston on the court, I'm rough. Out here on the street, we all gotta get tough. Say no to drugs, all the drug man's blood.
Call me Smurf, give my team my best. When you really care, you can do no less. But the game of life is more serious, cause drugs make boobies of all of us.
My name is Michael, but they call me Cool. My main hangout is up around the crew. We play hard, but we still play smart. We never let drugs tear us apart.
I'm AC Green. The word. You can't win the game with your vision blurred. Train your child the way to go. And when the drug man comes, he'll say no.
Jump shot, I like the idea of being on top, in the top to reach of every man, if drugs aren't in his master plan.
I'm Kurt Ramis, they call me Superman, and I'm known to give a helping hand. Now there's a rival out there on the streets, we all got to work together to be.
We're the top, but we're no relation, and we stand together for the free nation. His words are the sweet slam dunk.
I can make a bad ground, bad jump. Winning points is what I'm passing you. Be like us and make the right moves. Say no.
So let's cut the crack man's money back and tell him to hit the road, man.
Just say no. Just say no.
I'm the magic man with the Midas touch. Gotta play the right way to keep it moving up. It seems that life comes for each day, but drugs is a price I can't afford to pay.
$100 on Brooklyn Road. Don't need drugs to make us bold. We dribble, shoot, and slam dunk. You can win too without that jump.
Just say no.
Say my plays really do the thing, so I'm here to tell you the best play of all. Say no to drugs, and this life is ball. Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.